It was a bright and sunny day as two brothers, Dominic and Andy, walked down the road to go to school. They were raised in Umaru in Uganda, and they both came from a very poor family, illiterate subsistence farmers. But finally, the two brothers were getting a chance to learn, and they had a bright future ahead of them. Suddenly and without warning, that future was cut short. Before the boys could cry out, rebel soldiers from the Lord's Resistance Army swooped down and kidnapped Dominique and Andy. They carried them off to a training camp, hoping to turn them into ruthless, bloodthirsty soldiers. Since 1987, the Lord's Resistance Army has terrorized Uganda. It's responsible for over 100,000 deaths, 60,000 abductions, and 1.5 million people forced to flee their homes. And that was the future that Dominique and Andy now faced. Abducted, tortured, the two brothers had their lives stolen by the LRA. But then one day, something unexpected happened. An opportunity opened up for them to flee. When the soldiers weren't looking, a clear path of escape opened, and Andy took it, running for his life. He escaped from the camp, he ran into the jungle, and he kept running until he reached his home village. Andy made it out safely. He came back home to family and friends, where he lives to this day. But for reasons we will never understand, Dominique didn't flee. Dominique stayed behind. And as he grew up, Dominique became just like the soldiers who had captured him. He became ruthless and violent. He's accused of slaughtering hundreds of innocent people. And as the years turned into decades, Dominique rose up in the ranks and became a leader in the LRA. He was wanted by the International Criminal Court. Eventually, he was captured. Dominique stands trial today in the Netherlands. Two brothers, two boys, they started out on the same path, but ended up in very different destinations. They both started out in captivity. They both suffered the same brutal bondage. They both had something valuable taken from them, but they made different choices. They took different roads, one to life, one to death. When you think about it, in some ways, all of us are like Dominique and Andy. You see, all of us have had evil things done to us. We've all had something valuable stolen from us. We've all become bondage and slaves to sin and Satan. You may be here this morning and you feel trapped by what other people have done to you. You may feel neglected by what people didn't do for you. You may have had something stolen from you, but no matter who you are, no matter what people did or what people didn't do to you, you have a choice today. You can break free and live, or stay in bondage and die. That's the powerful truth we're going to discover this morning in our sermon entitled Resentment. We're going to dig deep into God's word and see the clear choice before all of us today. A choice of life or death, forgiveness or resentment, freedom or bondage. And we're going to learn that by God's grace, we can all be free through the power of Jesus Christ. But before we find out how, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you today for your freedom and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness over every one of our lives. Lord, we pray today that you will help us to extend that forgiveness, that mercy to everyone who's wronged us. For deep in our hearts, there are areas of resentment lurking. Deep in our hearts, there are people we may not have forgiven. And I pray today you will expose them to our minds. Shed your light upon us, O God, so that we can be free from the bondage of resentment and walk in the destiny you've called us to. I submit everyone to you right now. I bind every voice that would come to deceive or disturb or distract us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to minister grace and truth to us today. That at the end of the day, your name will be glorified and we will be transformed. We thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to invite you to take a moment and pray with me. Just put your hands on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. It's great to have you here with us in the house today. If you're joining us online, a very warm welcome to you as well. If you're ever in Accra, be sure you join us in person at Agape Land. I promise you, you will enjoy your experience and God will touch you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, today's a great day to be in church as we continue our sermon series called Necessary Sins. We're actually halfway through the series, and I know that it's caused quite a bit of uproar in our lives and in the community. Some people have been attacking me on Facebook. Why did you call it Necessary Sins? And maybe you're here today and you've never heard messages like this before, where a pastor preaches against sin. A lot of churches don't preach about sin. And maybe some things I've said have made you feel a little uncomfortable. But that's okay, because you see, God wants all of us to grow. He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. But sometimes in that growth process, we have to change. We have to get rid of things that are holding us down. And sometimes that can make some of us feel a little uncomfortable. But the fact is, God has promised us a new life. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you will yield to Him and obey His word, He will overcome the bondages in your life. He will help you overcome the discomfort, and He'll take you and shape you into a new creation. But you see, that's what God says salvation is. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and everything has become new. It's not easy. It's certainly not automatic, but Christ has a greater power than your past. Christ has a greater power than your sin. Christ has a greater power than anything on this earth. And so by the power of Christ, you can have freedom from your past life and freedom from sin. If you believe it, say amen. Well, that's certainly what our scripture text for today tells us. If you would, just take out your sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin. And there on the top of page one, you'll find our text for today. It tells us that it's not easy to get out of sin, but it certainly is possible. And I'd like to invite you to read our text together with me today. It's found in Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. It's on your notes. It's on the screen ahead of you. But the Word of God has the most power when it's in our hearts and on our lips. So let's open up our hearts and open up our mouths and read it together. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1, go. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Did you hear what God is telling us today? He first of all acknowledges that sin easily trips us up. We're all prone to it because we were all born in Adam. But then he gives us the good news. It is possible to strip off the sin. It's possible to throw off the sin. It's possible to choose today to overcome it. And then he gives us the pattern of how we can get out. We look to Jesus. We get close to Jesus. We renounce Adam. We move into Christ and we follow his example. By the power of God, his example leads us to victory over sin. Whether it's lust or whether it's pride or gossip or lying, every kind of sin must submit to the name of Jesus. But I think it's interesting to note that Paul singles out one particular type of temptation in these verses. Certainly the truth he gives us applies to all sin, but listen to what he said in verse 3. Think of the hostility Jesus endured from sinful people, and don't grow weary or give up. Paul identifies one of the common sins amongst us and singles it out for our particular attention today. It's the sin of resentment. For you see, the fact is, just like Jesus was offended, just as Jesus had many bad things done to him, so we all have many bad things happen to us in life. We've all been attacked. We've all been mistreated. We've all had things done to us that were hurtful and painful. But God is telling us we don't need to be in bondage to resentment or unforgiveness. We can find our way of freedom. To help us do that today, we're going to look at the story of a man in the Old Testament named Esau. Now, Esau might be someone that you've never heard of before, or even if you do know something about him, it may only be a little bit. But let me give you a background on Esau. He was the grandson of Abraham. He was the firstborn son of Isaac. He was the senior brother of Jacob. And yet, in spite of his place in this prominent family, most of us think of Esau in a negative light. If we know anything about him at all, we think of him as the guy who sold his birthright to his junior brother for a bowl of bean soup. I don't know about you. I happen to like beans. I like bean soup, but I don't think I would sell my birthright for it. And so we have this negative view of Esau that he was a failure, a loser. He was someone who gave up the valuable for something so insignificant. But what we may not know is that Esau is actually a very good guide for us as we navigate through the challenges of overcoming resentment. You see, Esau was initially overcome with resentment. He got angry at his brother for cheating him. He got angry at his father for not helping him. He got angry at everybody for what happened to him. But in the end, he had a turnaround and overcame resentment. And if we'll follow his pattern, we too will overcome resentment. Our story begins in Genesis chapter 27 when Esau is beginning to make a change in his life. He seems to have recovered from his foolish mistake of selling his birthright, and he's now walking in a path where he can achieve his destiny. He's obeying his father Isaac. He's doing the things he ought to do. And in this particular case in Genesis 27, Isaac is getting old, and Isaac now calls him and said, "Esau, I want to bless you as my firstborn son. I want to give you your destiny, but before I do that, I want you to go and get some wild meat from the bush and make me my favorite wild meat stew." So Esau goes off in obedience. Esau does what he's told to do. He's walking in the blessings of his father, obeying him. But what he doesn't know is that behind his back, his very own mother, Rebekah, and his junior brother, Jacob, are now plotting against him to steal his blessing. While Esau's out doing the right thing, the rest of the family is doing the wrong thing, conspiring to steal from him. And in this, we can learn the first lesson about resentment. It is the sources of resentment. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word sources, the sources of resentment. For resentment can come from many different directions, but the number one main area that resentment comes to us is the things that others did to me. Esau comes back from hunting, back from obeying his father, back from getting the wild meat. He prepares it. He goes in and takes it. But then he discovers to his horror that his mother and brother Jacob have deceived Isaac, his father. Jacob has gone in disguised as Esau. Jacob gave his father Isaac a false stew. Isaac then blessed Jacob and cheated Esau from his birthright. And listen to what Esau says in Genesis 27, 36. Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he's stolen my blessing." And in this cry from Esau, we begin to hear the beginnings of resentment. We can see the pain, we can feel it, we can hear it, that Esau feels cheated and betrayed. He begins to slander his brother and say, "Look what he's done to me over and over again. He's a thief. He's a cheat. He's a bad person." And I believe all of us can relate to Esau this morning, because all of us, no matter who you are, have had something bad done against us. There will always be offenses. There will always be people doing evil against you. Jesus himself said in Luke 17:1, there will always be temptations to sin. There will always be offenses. But that's why it's so important to learn how to overcome resentment, because you cannot avoid people doing wrong against you. You cannot avoid people cheating you or slandering you or hurting you or attacking. You can't avoid that in this world, but you can overcome resentment when you decide to put it behind you and continue to move forward. If you don't learn to forgive today, those wrongs done against you will continue to come up in your heart and mind, and you will stumble over them. If you keep replaying the video in your mind, you'll end up destroyed by your own resentment. That's the lesson we can learn from the unfortunate death of a man named James Garfield. You may never have heard of him, but James Garfield was actually the 20th president of the United States of America. He ruled way back in 1881, but he didn't rule for long. For just 7 months after he took power, James Garfield was in Washington, D.C., when an assassin came and shot him in the back. The bullet penetrated his back, but fortunately for Garfield, it didn't hit any major organs. In fact, the wound was serious, but he could have recovered from it and lived a long life, except for one simple problem. The doctors refused to let the wound healed. The doctors believed that they had to extract the bullet. The doctors believed that if the bullet remained in him, it would cause risk to his life. And so over and over again, they kept probing, opening him up, surgically looking for the bullet, which they never found. Not once, not twice, but for weeks, yes, even for a month, they continued to operate on James Garfield, looking for the bullet. James Garfield didn't die from the gunshot wound. He died from the doctors probing and meddling, and infection set in and caused him to lose his life 2 months after he was shot. In the same way, that wrong done against you will not kill you, but when you won't let it go, when you keep probing, keep searching, keep looking for it, keep replaying it in your mind over and over again, then the infection of resentment sets in and it destroys. The fact is, you can't move forward while you're always looking back. That's why the Bible tells us in Philippians 3:13, but I do one thing, I forget everything that is behind me and look forward to that which is ahead of me. And today you have that opportunity to put everything aside, no matter what anybody has done to you, to lay it down and begin to move forward. Resentment comes from what people did to me. Secondly, resentment comes from what others didn't do for me. See, not only did Jacob cheat Esau, but there was a second offense. Isaac refused to bless Esau. And this is particularly hurtful because Isaac and Esau were very close. Esau was Isaac's favorite son. But after Jacob went in and tricked Isaac and took the blessing, Esau went in and cried to his father and said, "Can't you bless me?" But listen to what Isaac said to Esau. "I have made Jacob your master and have decided that all his brothers will be his servants. I have guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son?" We may not understand the ancient Hebrew customs of inheritance and blessings, but there's one thing we all do understand. We understand what it looks like to be overlooked when the blessings are being distributed. For just as surely as there are men who will do wrong against you, there are also men who will not give you what you deserve. Maybe you're here today and that's been your experience in your family. Your father favored your brother over you. He paid for his school fees and helped him get to university. But for you, he could barely even greet you in the morning. Your mother liked your sister better than you, and she showered her with all the opportunities, and you were left struggling in life. Maybe your teacher liked other students better and she couldn't attend to you. Maybe you were in a job and the coworker slept with your boss and he promoted her ahead of you, and now you feel resentment. You've had to struggle because people didn't give you what you should have gotten. But friends, let me encourage you today. No matter how many people have failed you, no matter how many people have done wrong to you, there is a God in heaven who will never let you down. And my Bible says in Psalm 27:10, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And I'm here to tell you today, your destiny is not in the hands of your father. Your destiny is not in the hands of your teacher or your boss. Your destiny is in the hands of your heavenly Father. You may have been left out when they gave the inheritance, but God has never lost sight of you. You may not have had the opportunity somebody had, but today you have the treasures of Christ available to you. You may have been overlooked and neglected and abandoned, but today the promises of God are yes in amen in Christ Jesus for you. And when you know what God has done for you, you can overcome resentment and let it go for the things other people didn't do for you. Men may have done you wrong. Men may have neglected to give you good, but the third source is sometimes the hardest to take: what others got that I didn't get. Sometimes we get resentful because other people got what we didn't get. Jacob cheated Esau. Isaac withheld from Esau. And the result was Jacob got what Esau wanted. And there's nothing worse than doing everything you think you should and still not getting what you're supposed to get. Has that ever happened to you? I'll be frank, in some ways, that was the story of my life. When I was a young man, I wanted to have a big, muscular body. So I used to go to the gym and work out. I used to lift weights. I could go to the gym every day and lift weights for 6 months. At the end, I would measure my arm, and I gained 0.5 millimeter. Hey. Then I would see my friend on the street. His arm was bigger than my leg. I say, hey, Charlie, have you been working out? He goes, nah, I don't need to work out. I'm just like this. It's not fair. It is not fair. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to dieting. Yeah. You want to lose some weight, so you go on this no-carb diet. No bread, no yam, no fufu, no cassava, no ice cream, nothing good. You starve yourself for 3 months. At the end of the 3 months, you weigh yourself. You gained a kilo. Abba! Then you see Susie on the street. She's looking swelled. Say, Susie, what diet are you on? She goes, diet? I don't diet. I eat whatever I like. Hey, it's not fair. Some of you got up this morning, you checked your Facebook page, and you saw someone in a relationship. Her? In a relationship? That girl? She puts her makeup on backwards. Hey. How did she get in a relationship? And you know what you do? The first thing you say is, it won't last. It's not going to last. It's not going to last. He will soon find out what she's really like. It's not going to last. You see her in church this morning, you go, oh, sis, you're blessed and highly favored. Inside, you're going, I hate you. I hate you. Some of you have been here for 5 years. You are faithful. You're praying for a husband. You're praying and fasting. You're praying and fasting for a husband. You go to all night praying for a husband. You pay your tithe. You even went to a program and you made a special seed offering to get 72-hour husband. You paid $720 seed offering to get a 72-hour husband and still nothing. Then some lady walks in, never been to the church before. She's hardly saved. She's not been baptized. She doesn't pay her tithe. She doesn't have a tithe. She's not even working. And before she leaves the compound, she has a man. It's not fair. Hey. And you say, oh, you. Even some of us in church, this is how we view our service in church. I have been a volunteer in this church for 2 years, and they have never let me sing on stage. I can sing. I sang in JSS. My mother thinks I sing good. Shout to the Lord. And she walked in just last month, and they put her on stage to sing. It's my turn. Me first. I want what she has. Come into the church, say, I'm going to serve as an usher. You've been an usher for 5 years. You're really good at ushering. And somebody comes in after 5 months, and they make them second assistant head usher on Saturday night. And you're offended. You're resented. He has what you want. You think to yourself, I'm a better usher than him. He don't even know how to do the usher wave. I can do the usher wave. Yeah. I'm a smoking hot usher. How did he get there? It's not fair. Genesis 27:38, Esau said, it's not fair. And he went to plead to Isaac, but do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too. Then Esau broke down and wept. And you can likely sympathize with Esau when he breaks down weeping, because the bitterness of seeing someone else get what you wanted can break even the strongest among us. You've been trying to get pregnant for 3 years, and your friends go on their honeymoon and get pregnant with twins. It's not fair. You've been working at your company. You come on time, you do your best, and somebody walks in after 6 months and gets promoted ahead of you. It's not fair. There's nothing worse than doing everything you think you should to get what you think you should and not getting it. But you will find a season in your life where you do everything right, you obey the Father, you go through all the motions, and still somebody else gets the blessing. And in that season, you've got to decide, will you resent or forgive? Will you go for life or death? If you allow resentment to come into your heart, it will spoil your life, it will block your destiny, it will trip you up. That's what happened to Esau. Genesis 27, 41, Jacob had done him wrong. Isaac didn't give him a blessing. Jacob got what he wanted. And listen to what he says. From that time on, Esau hated Jacob because their father had given Jacob the blessing and not him. And Esau began to scheme, I will soon be mourning my father's death. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Resentment has taken hold. Turn your notes over to page 2 and consider that resentment has now borne its fruit of hatred and bitterness and murder. And the fact is, friend, that's how it is for all of us. We all have people who've done us wrong. We all have people who've withheld their blessing from us. We all have seen others get what we wanted. But when you don't deal with the sources of resentment, then you will end up dealing with the results of resentment. And that's your second truth today at the top of page 2. The results of resentment. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word results. For see, you may think, I can live with this. I can live with a chip on my shoulder. I can live with a grudge. It doesn't hurt anybody. I'm going to remember what he did and I'll be cool to him when I see him. You think you can live with that, but the fact is, if you don't deal with resentment, resentment will deal with you. And the consequences of resentment are far worse than you think. First of all, resentment will enslave you. Listen to what Isaac prophesied over Esau. When Esau got filled with resentment, Isaac looked up at him and prophetically spoke these words, you will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. And Isaac saw by the Spirit that the resentment that had grabbed hold of Esau was not binding Jacob, it was binding Esau. For when you get bitter, you don't put your enemy in bondage, you put yourself. That's what happened to me last week. Somebody did something to me I didn't like. I thought it was wrong, and I got angry. And I was thinking about it throughout the day, but it came to a head when I wanted to go to bed at night. And I was getting ready for bed, and I started thinking about what this person did and how bad they were, that they were wicked. 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 And I began thinking what I was going to tell that person if I saw them. I'm going to tell you. You're bad. You're wicked. I saw myself talking to Jesus about them. And the person was there. And I was telling Jesus, see what he did to me? Look how he behaved. Lord, punish him. Punish him. Oh, don't look at me so holy. You do the same thing. You know you do. And I was up. I couldn't sleep. I was agitated. I'm marching through the bedroom. I'm going to show him. And the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, guess what? I said, what? He said, guess what your enemy is doing? I said, what? He said, he's sleeping. Hey, he's dreaming of Omotuo. He's snoring right now, and you're marching through the bedroom. You can't sleep. It's 2 a.m. You're worried about it. Resentment doesn't hurt your enemy. It hurts you. Proverbs 26, 27 tells us, if you set a trap for others, you'll get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. And that's the second result of resentment. What you resent will destroy you. Job chapter 5, verse 2 says, surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. That's what happened to a lady named Nancy Acosta. Nancy Acosta was a wife, mother of 2 children, living in Houston, Texas. One day recently, she began to suspect that her husband was having an affair. He wasn't spending the night at home. He was just coming to take his clothes and food and go back. So she decided she was going to catch him and punish him. One day when he got up, got in the car and left, she got in her car and followed him. And sure enough, after some time, she saw her husband stop and pick up a woman, his girlfriend, his mistress, And Nancy became furious. She resented what he'd done to her. She resented how he'd withheld his love from her. She resented that that woman had what she wanted. And so she began chasing her husband down the road in their cars, two of them driving on the motorway. Nancy got faster and faster till she caught up with her husband and his girlfriend, and she began ramming the back of his car with hers. She hit him once. She hit him twice. The husband's trying to escape. Nancy is pursuing him, hitting him over and over again until finally Nancy Acosta lost control of her car. Her vehicle left the lane and went into the oncoming traffic, and within seconds, she was hit head-on and died on the spot. Today, Nancy's rival is sleeping in Nancy's bed. Nancy's rival is living in Nancy's house. Nancy's rival is taking care of Nancy's two children. Because resentment will destroy you. It's a weight too heavy to bear. Proverbs 27:3 says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but the resentment caused by a fool is even heavier. And that's the problem for some of you. You're living weighed down. You don't smile. You don't look happy. You live under a burden of resentment. And even though things are good for you, even though God has blessed you, even though you have what you need, you're not happy. You're not satisfied. You're resentful. You're living under a weight. Friend, if you cannot enjoy what you do have because of all the things you don't have, you're under the burden of resentment. I've come to the place in my life where I've decided something. If God never does anything else for me again, it's okay. He's done enough. If God never answers one more prayer in my life, it's okay. He's done enough. He saved me. He rescued me. He redeemed me. He gave me a destiny. And if God never gives me one more thing in my life, the blessings I've had is enough. So don't let somebody else's blessing become your curse. Don't let somebody else's joy become your sorrow. Because just because your brother is blessed doesn't mean you won't be. Just because your mate has a child doesn't mean you won't have one. Just because that sister is married doesn't mean you won't get married. Just because somebody else got promoted doesn't mean you won't get promoted. Just because someone else has it doesn't mean you won't. Proverbs 14:30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. The truth is, resentment enslaves you, resentment destroys you, and sadly, what you resent, you will resemble. You may not know this, but you become like the thing you hate. Esau resented Jacob for stealing from him, but Esau became more wicked than Jacob. Jacob stole property, but Esau wanted to steal life. Jacob was a thief, but Esau was becoming a murderer. And if you resent your father for abandoning you, you will likely become a father who abandons his children. If you resent your boss for the way he treats his workers, you will likely become a boss who mistreats his workers. That's why Proverbs 30 says, there are three things that make the earth tremble. No, for it cannot stand. A slave who becomes a king, a rebel who prospers, a bitter woman when she finally marries, and a servant girl who marries the husband of her mistress. When I read that, I say, but Lord, why? What these four, what is it about them? Because they all resent the person they replace. A slave resents the king. When he becomes king, he's worse than the one that was there. A rebel resents society, and when he prospers, he's worse than the others. A bitter woman resents other women, and when she finally marries, she lets them have it. A servant girl who marries the husband of her mistress, oh, she resented that mistress. And now that she's taken her place, there's hell to pay. Resentment enslaves you. Resentment destroys you. And if you don't repent, you will soon resemble the person you resent. So what do we do? Is there any way out? Is there any hope against resentment? Well, the good news is, even in the story of Esau, we find the solution for resentment. Take your pen and fill in the blank with the word solution. You see, Esau was bound by resentment. What Jacob did to him, what Isaac didn't do for him, the fact that Jacob got what he wanted, all these things caused Esau to suffer pain. But Jacob gave him a way out. Isaac gave him a way out. In Genesis chapter 27, verse 40, at the end of the prophecy, Isaac says this to Esau: when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck. And suddenly there's a ray of hope. Suddenly there's a light. Suddenly there's an open door. Suddenly the opportunity to escape from the bondage has made its way clear. And it's left for him to choose. It's left for him to decide. And the same thing has happened to you today. Just like Andy in Uganda, a way of escape is opened. Though the forces are strong, though the enemy has captured you, suddenly there's the light of day. Suddenly the door is cracked open. Suddenly, if you decide to get free, you can run, you can escape, you can be free from resentment. When you decide, you will shake off the yoke and throw off the bondage. And Esau experienced three revelations and took three steps to break the power of resentment. And you can too. First of all, Esau decided, I will throw off the yoke of resentment. We don't know when it happened. All we see is in Genesis 27, Esau's bitter. He's ready to kill Jacob. And because of that, Jacob's mother says, you better run, boy. You better flee. Go to my uncle in Paddan Aram and stay there. So Jacob takes off, and for 14 years, he's in a foreign land. And all that time, we don't hear about Esau. All that time, we don't know whether the fire of resentment is burning or whether God is bringing revival fire. All we know is that eventually, after 14 years, God begins to bring Jacob back, and he sends a message to Esau. He's afraid of what Esau will do to him. He's afraid of the resentment. He knows that he wronged him, so he sends a message and says, your servant, your slave, your junior brother is coming back. Can I meet you? And in Genesis 33, we begin to get a picture. Here comes Jacob with his four wives and children, and they look up on the horizon, and there comes Esau with 400 armed men. Who's the boss now, Jacob? And Jacob begins to tremble. He's got four wives and 12 children, and Esau's got 400 men. He knows what he did to him, and he's fearing the result of resentment. But to the shock and surprise of everyone, Esau has had a transformation. He decided to throw off the yoke. And verse 4 says that Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And they both wept. And suddenly, somehow, Esau has been transformed. Because, friend, when you can embrace the thing that hurt you, you've thrown off the yoke of resentment. When you can buy maternity clothes for the woman who's pregnant when you can't conceive, you've thrown off resentment. When you can throw a party for your coworker who got promoted in place of you, you've thrown off resentment. When you can rejoice with your volunteer team member who got elevated ahead of you, you've thrown off resentment. Today you can do that. You can forgive anyone who wronged you. You can release anyone who didn't do good for you. And you can rejoice in the good others had. For resentment can't hold you when you decide. Secondly, Esau not only decided, but he declared. When he came to meet Jacob, Jacob had a gift. Jacob had an offering to pacify Esau. But listen to what Esau says in Genesis 33:9. My brother, I have plenty, Esau answered. Keep what you have for yourself. And think about what this means for a moment. This means that Esau has now prospered. Esau has 400 men. He has sheep and goats and cattle. And when Jacob comes to give him a gift, Esau says, it's okay. I appreciate the thought, but I don't need it. I'm wealthy. I'm rich. And suddenly we realize that what Esau was struggling to get from Jacob, he already had it. He didn't need to fight for it. He didn't need to struggle for it. He didn't need to kill his brother. He simply needed to look to God. And I say to you today, resentment resentment walks in when you think somebody else has stolen your blessing. But resentment walks out when you realize you have a blessing in Christ that nobody can steal from you. Somebody shout hallelujah. And let me tell you today, I don't need to resent anybody. I don't need to be angry they got something I wanted, because I know that in Christ, every promise is yes and amen. I know that in Christ, I have all that I need. I know that my destiny is not in the hands of anybody else, but my Heavenly Father. And He said, I will provide everything you need. And if I don't have it, it's either because I don't need it or it's still on the way coming. Somebody shout amen. Some of you are filled with resentment for what you didn't get. But if you could see what you have in Christ, if you knew today who you are in Christ, if you would know that you don't need to struggle, you simply need to declare, I have all I need. I will not resent. I will be content. For 1 Timothy 6:6 says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. So I say to you today, take a decision, throw off the yoke, and begin to declare, I don't need what somebody else has. I don't need to struggle for place or position. I can be content. I will not resent. And then number three, devote yourself to Christ. See, Esau got a revelation about his destiny. He said, it doesn't matter what my father says. It doesn't matter what my brother says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I know who I am. That's why when he met Jacob, he forgave him. He refused his gift. And then listen to verse 12. Esau said, I will lead the way. Esau said, I know the prophecy. I know you're supposed to be my ruler, but I've come into my own identity. I don't need affirmation or approval or acceptance from anybody. I know who I am. I'm the senior brother, and I will lead the way. And friends, you can get rid of resentment today when you know that you have a destiny that nobody can steal from you. You're not running your brother's race. You're not running your father's race. You're running your own race. And you can overcome when you keep focused on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You don't need to worry about pleasing people. You don't need to worry about the applause of men. You don't need to worry about affirmation from your family. You simply do what 2 Corinthians 5:9 says. Our goal is to please Him. When you devote yourself to pleasing God, you live for an audience of one. You run your own race. And the good news for all of us is there is a trophy in heaven that's made just for you. It has your name on it, nobody else's. And for all of eternity, that name on that trophy will never change. Nobody, no matter how good they are, no matter what they do, nobody can take your trophy. It's got your name on it. So don't run somebody else's race. Don't resent what they have. Focus on your race. Even though Jesus had opposition, He kept His eyes on the prize. And you can overcome resentment when you do the same thing. Decide today, I will throw off the yoke of resentment. Declare today, I have all I need in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. And devote yourself to running your race and winning your prize. I want to urge you today, get rid of resentment. Put it out of your life. Maybe as I've been preaching, you've been thinking about somebody who did something or somebody who didn't do something to you. You've been thinking about something someone has that you want, but today you can drop it. And I want to help you. I want to invite everybody to stand right now in the balcony, on the side, in the back, in the front. And our pastors are coming to just take a few minutes to pray with you. If you're here today and you say, I want to get rid of resentment, I want to let it go today once and for all, I'm going to be free, I won't be ensnared, I won't be destroyed, I don't want to look like that person, I want to invite you to come right now and line up in the front. We're just going to take a moment to pray with you. Our pastors are coming to anoint you, to lay hands on you, to bless you. And as Heart Song sings, wherever you are, make it your decision today. I will throw off the yoke of resentment. I will declare that Christ is all I need. And I will devote myself to running my race and catching my prize. as we all worship the Lord and seek the presence of God. If you need special prayer today, just come. We're here to pray with you. God bless you as you do.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.